cup. Boom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
And we are in the air everywhere. The vast power of podcasting as we provide you marginal podcast quality, even on the weekends. It's 8 days a week now. The radio show, as you should be listening to, 5 days a week. And then on Friday, you get a double header action. It's like a Marlins schedule or a Cardinals schedule. You get a twin bill because not only can you listen to the 4 hours of content packaged for you on the iHeart and other platforms of the podcast, the Ben Maller Radio Show, but you get this dopey podcast as well. Because 4 hours during the night, during the week, clearly not enough. And we thank you for supporting the podcast. You guys have been great. The numbers have been up all year since we started doing three a week. We were doing one or two. I think we were doing like one. And then we did two. And then we're like, ah, screw it. We'll just do three. And the numbers have been up on that. So good job by you. And for better or worse, and likely for worse, joined yet again by David Gascon, who's right over there making his way into the microphone as we speak right now. He's going to literally go inside the microphone.
Into the Matrix? Is that what it is? You've been watching some new trailers on The Matrix 4. Is that what you're thinking right now?
I'm a big Matrix guy, although I've only watched the first Matrix. How about that?
That's good.
I've not watched the other ones. That's the first one. I was told that was the one to watch, and I quote The Matrix quite a bit. There's a lot of good stuff in there. The red pill, the blue pill. Yeah. I also say that Twitter is like The Matrix because it's a different world. People think that's real, but it's not.
So the question is then, since you've watched that one episode of The Matrix, and I know all the men out there can relate to this, who would you identify as the woman in the red dress? Is that Mrs. Maller?
Wow, look at you.
I'm asking.
Right away. Wait, hold on a sec. We're less than 3 minutes into the podcast and already a reference to the wife.
Oh.
I mean, Gascon, you are adding to your shady reputation.
Listen,
on this podcast,
I do need to give her a big shout out because
why?
She actually gave me a couple birthday presents.
No. That was from the Maller family.
Yeah, but
that was from the Maller.
But we know who that's from. Like,
no, that was for me.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm very thoughtful.
What did she give me, or what did you guys give me?
We got you a book.
Right? Oh, you did.
We got you a book.
You did.
Yeah.
What was the name? What was the title of the book?
I don't need to promote the book. They got to buy advertising for that. I don't need to promote
the
book.
All right. Well, it was 2 books, actually, and it wasn't just one.
I sent one. She sent the other. Okay? That's what happened. So that's how that works there. I'm very generous. I'm very giving.
Like, I know.
This reputation of being a tightwad like that, man. Come on. I'm like Santa Claus. All right, I'm like God. I'm Santa Claus.
Okay, so like you're sporadically.
Ho ho ho. And yet, for some reason, they think of me that I'm always on a shoestring budget.
Yeah.
And frugal and all this. No, couldn't be further from the truth.
You're seasonal frugal. Then we'll say that. How about that? You're seasonal when it comes to spending, and you're seasonal when it comes to being frugal.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I
use all of the toothpaste. I spread the butter thin. I water down the soup. I do all that stuff.
There's certain times we talk about dining, and there's nights that you want to go cheap and go Tito's Tacos. There's other nights you want to splurge a little bit, Hollywood or Beverly Hills.
You're the guy that loves to just flush money away at the restaurants. I have said this, and I remember when I was driving to spring training from L.A. to Arizona, not the Florida one, but to Arizona for cover spring training 1 year.
Yeah.
And I stopped at this truck stop on the Arizona-California border. It was on the Arizona side because I had to get gas and I get a bite to eat. And it was the fucking greatest meal I had had in years. And I was like, this is a truck stop in the middle of a desert town on the California-Arizona border. I'm like... And it was cheap, and it was wonderful. I'm like, and again, these idiots have to go to they need the ambiance. They need that kind of stuff. So they go to these nice restaurants, and you just get bent over. I mean, come on.
Well, it's the grease food, man. That's soul for the stomach. That's why.
The truck drivers.
Yes.
Well, no, and I've talked about this many times, the three food groups that are the most important are
salt,
sugar, and fat.
Yes.
And no, I've read books on this because I like this kind of stuff because I'm a loser. But the people that make mass-produced foods in this country, they spend millions of dollars. They call it the bliss point. And it's that proper ratio of sugar, fat. I'm not kidding. Sugar, fat, and salt. And there are people that are dedicated to this, like the food scientists, to try to find that Goldilocks zone for the proper amount of sugar, salt, and fat. But I've always believed, Gascon, that what I have going right now in my life is the perfect way to do this when it comes to consuming food. Because I don't eat as much.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that old saying that hunger is the best spice or the best sauce?
Yes.
It's true. It's true. If you haven't eaten in a couple of days or a day, and then you go eat a meal, that meal's going to taste better than it normally would eat if you were eating three meals a day.
What happens if you eat the same meal three times a day?
When I was a kid, I would eat mac and cheese or whatever. You know, one of my grilled cheese sandwiches or some crap like that.
Wait a minute,
what are you eating? Jambalaya?
No.
Every day?
But, okay,
you eat jambalaya?
And I bring that up because of this is when I was going to undergrad, San Diego State. A good group of my friends, my buddy Nick, John, and Brendan. I went to high
school. Ramen noodles? Was it ramen noodles?
No. Oh, right. I went to elementary and high school with these cats, and so I trust them with a lot of things. And my buddy Nick, who I was a roommate with, he didn't have anywhere to sleep at his place, and I had just moved down there. So I was literally sleeping on his floor, and my buddy Brendan was sleeping on his futon. And the futon was not big at all, so we had like limited space. But because we were moving into a new spot within a two-week period, I didn't want to buy groceries. I didn't want to buy like any food. And so I felt guilty about like just coming in and living down there with those guys. But they introduced me to this spot just before you get into Mission Valley, like on the tip of Mission Valley in downtown San Diego on the 5 freeway.
Yeah.
It's this Mexican spot called Santana's. And it was the first time, I swear to God, the first time I ever got introduced to California burritos. And Ben,
floodgates have opened.
Because I did not want to have any groceries in my buddy's house, I ate two California burritos a day. Not one, but I had two fucking per day. And so those that don't know, that have never experienced like true Mexican cuisine in Southern California, California burritos, either carne asada or chicken, and then you have salsa, and then you have fries. And that's all put together in a giant burrito.
Just to go over the, you have the chicken or the carne asada, you got the fries,
yes,
and you have the salsa
and the cheese
and the cheese. Yeah, it's perfect.
Yes.
That is a perfect burrito.
And it was $5.25. That's what I did. $5.25 for a California burrito. It was a giant burrito. And those guys always got pollo. I got carne asada. I had them two times a day for 2 weeks. It was fucking awesome.
Only 2 weeks, though. I thought you'd go longer than that. Only 2 weeks.
Well, after that, I was able to buy groceries. But I'll never forget it. I mean, in San Diego, those are like some of my favorite spots, like the little, you know, places that you're talking about, like the truck stop going to Arizona.
Well, isn't that, you know, it's the way to break, if you have a kid that like loves chocolate chip cookies, right? Isn't the way you're supposed to do it is you sit them in a room with a plate of chocolate chip cookies to the ceiling, and you have them eat all of them. And then they will never want to eat another chocolate chip cookie again, right? Because they're like, holy fuck, this is terrible. This is, you know, they get. But I think that's a way to break any addiction to something is, not probably drugs because you do too much heroin.
Or cigarettes.
Or whiskey like beer drinking Brian and Half Pint. I don't know if you heard any of that.
No.
Probably not because you're not a nighttime person. But this this couple in Kansas City that has been calling the show for the last maybe a year or so, maybe a little longer than that, but not that much longer. And Beer Drinking Brian's from Minnesota. He lives in Kansas City. So he called the show, and he's always schnockered. He's always schnockered. You know, and I try to be receptive. I try to be supportive. I'm an overnight radio guy. I'm not going to get people to, you know, go to sobriety and all that stuff. I'm not. Fortunately, I've lost a lot of these people that are great characters and they die young because of the anyway, so Beer Drinking Brian calls up, and I'm like, whatever. He usually doesn't have much to say, but he loves the show, and he wants to be on the show, and it's a big thing. So I put him on. So then, like a couple months ago, he starts putting this half pint on, which is his girl, right? His I don't think they're married, but they're the girlfriend. Mm-hmm. So then she sounded all right. And then, like, the last couple days, she's had this weird transition into cartoon. She sounds like a mix of the teacher in the Peanuts and, like, a character from South Park. It's crazy. It's just nuts. I don't know what happened. I don't know if she's doing a voice or what, but just nothing. But the point is, like, if you gave Beer Drinking Brian, you sat him in a room, and let's say he was actually rarely, he was not schnockered at that time.
Yeah.
And you give him a table filled with one side of the table's got scotch, the middle part's got whiskey, and then the other side's got bourbon, and you told him he had to drink all that, like, he would still want more. But you know what I mean? But that's the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Anyway, all right, so coming up on this podcast, is it an interview podcast? No, it's not an interview podcast. It's a story time podcast. That's right. It's a story time podcast, which is different. We're going to call this one a walk in the park is what we're going to call this one, a walk in the park. And then we also have, if we have time, All About Bob, but not what you think All About Bob. So those are the two things. Only two things.
All right.
Only two things. But I think that'll be enough. And I think we'll be good on that. And before we get into the meat of it, shameless promotion. Cameo, 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 Cameo.com. So far, the oddest request I've gotten is from Jesse, a Laker apologist. And we mentioned this in a previous episode, that I had to do my favorite Laker players of all time in a cameo request. And I did it. And people have been threatening, although no one's actually done it. They've said, oh, I want a video with Bella. But that hasn't happened yet. Maybe it'll happen. Anything, whatever you want. But if you want to, usually for birthdays, weddings, bar mitzvahs, or just a shout out to, hey, have a good day. Cameo.com, Ben Maller. It's not free. Search my name on there. But I am at a lower price point than the other normal gas bags that are on, you hear on the radio. Now, there's a bunch of people on there. I'm not, there's a big, much bigger names than me. Mike Tyson charges, was he charged like $500 or something like that?
Yeah, he had a couple actors that were like, wasn't Jeremy Piven like $10,000?
Yeah, again, go fuck him. You know what I mean? Who's going to pay $10,000 for him? And then that's on Twitter, good. Twitter at Ben Maller, Instagram Ben Maller on Fox, and Facebook, we use that a lot for the podcast, Ben Maller Show. And guess gone, people can somehow track you down to talk about California burrito.
Yeah, can you make sure to add a disclaimer that I'm not fucking 50 years old? Like, I got people like sending me DMs asking like, hey, are you really that old? That old, you don't
well,
look
you
that
are.
Old.
I don't know what you're talking about. You just turned 50, and I know I like how you try to downplay that. I understand.
No,
when you're at that age, you want to just be more relatable. You don't want to say, hey, I'm actually that age. You want to say, no, I'm younger.
Nah, I mean,
you're hanging on to your youth.
No, like
it's
I
hard.
Said last week when we hung out with the fake dentist, I'm much younger than both of you guys, so it's good to be back in the saddle. But yes, on Twitter at David J. Gascon, same thing with Cameo, and then Instagram is at Dave Gascon. Oh, and I got some toys coming in the mail, Ben, so I am really excited about what we're going to do in the month of September, you and I. So
yeah. Oh yeah, some toys.
I know. Yes, so had to upgrade the MacBook.
Ah, okay.
And then adding some things that are similar to your private studio there at the Maller Mansions.
Oh, let me tell you something. This studio is working very well.
Hey, did I see the other day with a Major League Baseball hat?
Yes. I'm upgrading. People are sending me hats.
Man.
It's an amazing thing here. They want to, I'm all for it. Like I you know what I'd like to do? And this is probably third rail, my man. I support the police. We got a lot of police that listen to this show. If you get a local police department hats, I'd wear those loud and proud on those things. I would love to.
That's all.
But I don't really have any of those I can wear. But that, and then people keep complaining about the Iowa Hawkeyes hat that's in my rotation. And hey, I'm equal opportunity. I went to Saddleback College. I have a hat from Saddleback that I wear, but I'd wear, if you want to, send a SEC hat or whatever, I'd pretty much wear anything at this point. There was some guy, because I was kissing the ass of Ramon Laureano.
Yeah, that was good.
Of the Athletics. I love that guy. He's my favorite A's player.
So far.
since Carney Lansford. But no, yeah, I love the guy because he was great because he attacked the Astros. So I'm going to send you an A's hat. Yeah, I'll wear an A's hat. I don't care. I'll wear an A's hat. Why not? I will wear any, because other than the Astros, I will not do the Astros. I will not do the Lakers. I will not do the Astros. That's the line in the sand right there.
Have you gotten an updated old school San Diego Padres hat?
I have not. That's a good. I love the Padres uniforms.
Yeah, they're sick.
I want to hate them, but they're solid.
Yeah, they're solid.
That is a good look. A team that changed their uniforms that did it right. Unlike those amateurs with the Rams who ruined the iconic LA Ram horns on the helmet. I mean, terrible, absolutely terrible. And the Falcons uniforms blow. Yeah. I don't know who designed the Padres uniforms. That's a classical look. That is a timeless look for the Padres. Now, they'll change it in 3 years because they change it every few years, but that's a great uniform. They should keep that one forever.
Yeah, them and when they go military, when they're honoring the military on their Military Appreciation Day, when them and the Pittsburgh Pirates go with their camouflage uniforms, those are A+. But it's weird. San Diego's got two of the best iconic uniforms in all sports, the Chargers and the Padres. Obviously,
I don't know if you know about this. The Chargers moved to LA.
I know, but the San Diego Chargers, they have the iconic uniform. But I'm saying, they were home for the two most iconic uniforms. And you know, obviously, they don't win at all. But
well, no, and actually the three, because you were discounting the great Clipper uniform, which came from San Diego, the San Diego Clippers.
Did you like those uniforms?
I liked the powder blue. It was good. Well, that was World Be Free.
Yeah.
That was World Be Free, who I'm still trying to figure out. You know, he led the NBA, I think, in scoring. He averaged like 30 points a game his second year in San Diego with the Clippers. And he somehow then ended up on the Golden State Warriors. If you have a guy that scores 30 points a game, what the fuck are you doing? I don't understand it. I still can't figure that. I can't wrap my mind around it. The guy, and he was ahead of his time, World Be Free, right? He changed his name. And now all these other clowns are putting their messages on their jerseys and all that, but World Be Free. Ralph Lawler used to, he knew him, the old play-by-play guy. Ralph used to tell me stories that he was just a great guy. From New York, he was like a legend from New York basketball, street basketball.
Mm.
Not that you care about World Be Free, I just popped in my head. We used him as a Insta-trivia. Or Who Am I? One of those dumb games that we play. I used him this week because I just love the name.
Speaking of that, August the 14th is when this episode is coming out.
Yes.
When do you think we'll see the day that Cody Bellinger bats your weight?
Well, I think it's pretty interesting that it was so easy last year for Bellinger. He has decided to go into the batter's box wearing a blindfold. And I give him credit because most people wouldn't do that. Most people would say, I don't want to go in the batter's box with a blindfold. But literally, when he's at home plate, I believe it is blindfold. It's him and let's not also dismiss Max Muncy. I like Max Muncy got paid, and the Dodgers are getting played right now because that's the Max Muncy that was in the minor leagues that was with Oakland.
Yeah.
That's that Max Muncy, right? That's not the Max Muncy that the Dodgers were, you know, gave all that money to because he looked like he had figured out the doctrine of Ted Williams on how to hit. but yeah, anyway, that's a man. Yeah, whatever. But they have a good record, but it still kind of feels this, like they're not. There's something not right there.
Yeah, it's
something not right with that Dodger team, and it bothers me.
But you know what doesn't bother me? And I think I was texting you this a couple weeks ago. Actually, when they were in Houston, is Edwin Rios.
Yeah, I like that guy. And he's like a part-time guy. I like the guy.
But he's got a smooth swing, and it seems like every time he makes contact, it's right on the ball. I mean, it's just a sweet spot. Bats a ball, and it looks like he's going to hit it out every time.
Yeah, and they got some of those guys they mix in. And like Rios going forward is going to get more and more playing time. And they'll get rid of some of the dead weight, like Kike Hernandez and guys like that after the year. He's a free agent. And hopefully they'll finally get rid of Baez because he takes 7 hours on the mound between pitches. Let him go somewhere else and sign with the Twins or whatever as a free agent. Anyway, let's get to the walk in the park, guest guy. You ready for this?
Yeah.
This is big. All right, so it's story time on the Fifth Hour podcast. So I saved this for this podcast because I could have told this story on the radio show. I could not have told it the way I'm about to tell it. And I will likely leave some things out. I will change some things around to, let's say, cover up for the guilty or protect the innocent. So Tuesday, I was out walking around. It's my thing, right? Since King Newsom closed the gyms and then reopened them briefly with strict rules and regulations, I decided, you know what? I'm not going to be a party of that. it just doesn't work for me. I work overnights. I need to go to the gym when they're not open 24 hours anymore. I used to go to 24-hour fitness. They're not open 24 hours. So I'm done. So each afternoon, when I get up from my hibernation, I throw some clothes on. I get a little canister of water because it's a million degrees where I live. And I wander around my hood. I'm in the hood here. About 5 to 7 miles a day is what I put in. 5 to 7 miles a day, depending on the day. So the other day on Tuesday, I was meandering around per normal. And it was 100 degrees. It's 100 degrees. Now, I was about halfway into my sojourn. So it was like 6 miles. I'm 3 miles in. All right. So 3 miles in, my stomach starts barking. And I'm like, this. I couldn't figure this out because it's very odd. I've kind of figured out when things go haywire and why they go haywire since my medical procedure last year. But this was odd to me. So I'm in the middle of a 65-hour fast at this point, halfway through a six-mile walk. And normally, this obviously doesn't happen until I break the fast. And then within an hour, usually within about 40 minutes after I eat a meal when I fast for a day or two, it is on like Donkey Kong, right? I got to go to the bathroom. I'm in there and the whole thing. So anyway, so I'm walking. I got my stomach's barking. And, you know, it's the kind of barking like, hey, you might have to go to the bathroom. But I attempted to ignore. I'm walking, you know, it's hot. I'm sweating. My stomach continues to growl. And I'm like, okay, you know, it's getting progressively worse. And then within the span of about 10 minutes, this became a code 3 situation. Lights, sirens, the whole thing. I had to get to a bathroom. The problem is I am very far away from where I live, and there are no restrooms in sight. All right, it's a residential area. There's no restrooms around or anything like that. And so then I had this cartoon bubble popped in over my head. All right, because you have a problem, you got to find a solution, right? I'm a solutions guy. So I'm trying to figure out, all right, so my stomach's going, I got to go to the bathroom, and I got to find a solution. So, and I'm realizing every step I take, step by step, I'm realizing it's like Shawshank Redemption. Chipping at the wall there for 19 years before you get out. But so this was rapidly progressing to a Tennessee trot situation. You know what Tennessee trots are, right? They're dysentery. All right. So I'm saying, how can I solve this? Well, I thought, you know, maybe I should just call the wife. She was at home. She's on the same dopey schedule I'm on. And I can have her pick me up. But then I was like, well, that'd be rude. She's sleeping. She sleeps a lot longer than I do. And I didn't want to wake her up. And she, you know, she needs to crank the engine up a little bit when she wakes up. You know, she doesn't come jumping out of bed running for the hills and all that stuff. So I was like, I don't want to do that. I can make this. I can survive this. I've had worse problems than this. I had the famous problem when I pooped my pants in Sherman Oaks at the studios there. So then I was like, I'm not going to call her. All right, I let her sleep. And then I was like, all right, I had a come to the toilet moment. I realized, I'm very proud of myself for this, that there was a park that I had walked through regularly that had a public bathroom, all right? But it was still about a mile away, still about a mile away from where I was. And I was convinced that this was the solution to my predicament. Right, this was the solution. So now keep in mind, I was not sure if that bathroom was open because of the coronavirus, COVID-19, I don't know if they'd close the bathrooms. I don't use public bathrooms unless I am forced to. I said, nah, screw it. It's worth a shot. I gotta go. And so I kept walking, head down, step after step, man on a mission. But here's the thing. So the situation is rapidly downgrading. It's... Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. My stomach is like, it's going to unload. Yeah, it's going to, everything's ready to drop. It's going to be like a bombing mission in a world war. And you're going to drop a nuclear bomb here. And so, well, happily though, you'll be happy to know that I made it to the public restroom without having to poop my pants. No sharding in the pants. But then as I get to the front of the bathroom, as I approach it, right, I don't know at this point whether or not it's going to be open. I'm not sure. Right? I don't know. A lot of these local communities have overreacted. They've closed playgrounds, basketball courts. And I assumed that bathrooms also in some of these places would be closed because the parks really aren't open. You can walk through them, but you can't do anything. So as I slowly approach, very dramatically, the bathroom, and then I get to the moment where I have to push the door, and this is going to determine whether or not I'm able to successfully take care of my Tennessee Trot situation or not. And I push the door and nirvana, the door opens. And I am like, thank God. Finally, something is going in my direction. But then the plot thickens. And this is where the story goes to the dark side. So, as you would imagine, a public bathroom in a park, even in a relatively decent neighborhood out in the boondocks, was not the cleanest thing you could possibly had, right? It was a typical public bathroom. I've been in worse, but it was not particularly clean. But I was like, okay, you know, you gotta roll with the punches. It's one of my mottos. You gotta roll with the punches. So I then had what I thought was a brilliant idea. I said, you know what? I am going to figure out a way to do this, to go to the bathroom without having to sit on the toilet. I'm going to turn this into a squatty potty. All right? Squatty potty. Now, Gascon's taking notes right now because he will quiz me on this when I get done with this story. What do you think happens next, Gascon?
I don't want to assume, but I have some really good ideas.
Okay.
The other thing, I'm going to put a couple things into the universe that I know that are apparent, but some might even think about it. You've walked a great deal of time.
Yes.
So that means you've perspired a little bit.
That is correct.
So you're what we'd say, moist.
Yeah, that is accurate. That is accurate. I'm very sweaty. I sweat a lot. That's one thing I have good genes for, sweating.
Yes. So your engine's running hot.
Yes.
Temperature here in Los Angeles over the last week, especially on that Tuesday, was good. So that means the weather was warm.
It was over 100 where I live.
Okay. So considering that and also the fact that your stomach aggravated you while you were unprovoked, this just adds to the moisture that's not only in the air, but that's in you. So please proceed, Captain.
All right. So again, we're at the point now where I'm in the bathroom. I've made it. I feel like I've won, that this is a great thing. This is a wonderful mitzvah. The bathroom's open. It's dirty, but not as dirty as I was worried it was going to be. So then I'm like, all right, we'll go squatty potty. Now, fortunately, there's no cameras in the bathroom. I'd probably be in jail right now if there were. So I attempted like a mix of a gymnast and a ballerina to squat over the toilet. And in my head, I figured I used Mahler math.
You're bad at geometry.
I still can't believe it. So in my head, I figured, I looked at the circumference of the width of the toilet bowl, and then I did the math on me squatting over it, and yes. I figured, you know how like the basketball hoop, and the basketball's a lot smaller than the basketball hoop, actually. If you stood over a basketball hoop and put the ball through, there's a lot of room on each side of the basketball, right? Yep. It doesn't look like that, but when you actually stand over a basketball hoop, there is. Anyway, so in my head, I'm like, listen, this is perfect. You know, I'm the fucking smartest guy in the room, okay? And I was the only person in the room, so I was the smartest person in the room. So, but anyway, so I'm like, all right, I'm squatting. I'm getting like a gymnast ballerina type, and I'm taking care of business. Now, I'm going to the bathroom, and I did not look back. I never looked back, and it appeared to be working fine. I didn't feel anything going the wrong way or anything like that. And then when it was finally ready to flush, flush away the evidence, I turned around to flush the toilet. And this was, as they say in war, a shock and awe moment. The bathroom gas gun had been blown out. It looked like a crime scene. It appeared that someone had been murdered.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
In the bathroom, the entire, and I'm not exaggerating this, I wish I was, the entire left side somehow, I guess as I was squatting, I was leaning more to the left, the entire left side was covered in poop. And I'm not just talking a little bit. I'm talking every piece of it. And somehow my arithmetic, my math was so bad that about 90% of my defecation had missed the mark completely. All right. You know how they have military, like Navy SEALs, snipers? I'm the opposite of that.
Yeah, you're what they call spray and pray.
Yeah. If this was in Mexico, they would have called it a feces fiesta, yes. Is what they would have called it there. And, oh, my God.
So the first thing that comes to my mind while people are listening to this, and I have a vivid imagination, The first thing that comes to my mind is the movie Desperado. And for all those that love the movie Desperado, if you remember the opening scene to that movie, there's a trap door that they go into with Quentin Tarantino to make a narcotics buy.
Yeah.
They go through a bathroom that looks like someone shat all over the toilet. If you Google Desperado bathroom stall and look at images, that's exactly what Ben Maller's bathroom in the park looks like. I can promise you this.
I could not believe it. I was literally standing there. I said, there's no fucking way. How could this have happened? I said, I didn't even think I went to the bathroom that much, and I certainly thought it was in the bowl and, you know, maybe a little bit on the side, but not all of it on the side. So then I made another decision that I would grow to regret, Gascon. All right. So I'm at the point, I'm looking, I'm like, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, holy crap. I mean, this is like the worst. This is like horrible. This is like, I've been to terrible bathrooms in New York and Boston and places like that. This is worse than any of that. So I felt bad. The next part of the story, I blame my mom for. Right? Because my mom raised me. When you do something wrong, you clean that up. Right? And I felt bad. I was like, somebody's going to have to come in there. Some janitor's going to have to come in there and clean this up. All this bodily waste. And so I made a decision that I would grow to regret. To not dump and dash. Right? And so, I don't even know if I should admit this, but I attempted to clean up the damage. It became a recovery mission at that point. And it wasn't just a recovery mission, Gascon. This was Mission Impossible. Okay. So there was, fortunately, some toilet paper. It was about half a roll of toilet paper that was in this bathroom. So then I attempted what I guess would be the bathroom version or the toilet cleanup version of they call it a whore's bath, right? To clean up the bowel movement, like gobs and gobs of the bowel movement. And I was able to get some of it up. Now, it was the most disgusting thing I'd probably done, and maybe I don't recall ever doing anything more disgusting, because public bathroom, you know, at least it was my own, you know, my own situation. And so I cleaned it up, and then the toilet paper ran out. And I then decided to be like the Big Ten or the Pac-12 presidents and give up. I just said, that's it. I'm going to be like a wimp like those people. I'm going to give up and not do anymore. And at admitted defeat, I had my tail between my legs. I walked away with my head down. Now, fortunately, none of the crap got on my pants or my legs or any of that. Somehow, I was able to avoid that. And then I had to walk the rest of the way, a couple miles home. And if you're keeping score at home, by the way, this is now the second time since the gallbladder was removed, November 3rd of 2019, that I have had a diaper gravy situation, a stage stage one, you know, DEFCON one situation. So that is my walk in the park this week, David Gascon. Any follow-up question?
I got a bunch.
All right.
First one is, after you're done cleaning.
Yes.
Paper towels in the bathroom, or was it an air blow dryer?
Oh, yeah. They had an air blow dryer, but the good news is they did have a little soap. So I did wash. And then when I went home, it was like a hazmat situation. I went into the shower and just stayed in there for like an hour, just to try to get rid of it. Even though I wasn't dirty, I just, in my head, the visions. You know, it's like a traumatic, it's PTSD, or, you know, post-traumatic shit disorder is what I had.
I'm grateful for a couple of reasons on this story. Not only that you shared it with us, but yes, two, that you didn't try to retaliate for all my Instagram photos that I send you with food porn, that you decided to snap a photo and fire one back at me like that.
Oh, that's a good idea. I didn't even think about that. That would have been good.
Oh.
That would have been great. Oh, you know what? If this happens again, I will file that away, Gascon, and you will get a photo of the situation. Now, I have to tell you that between shitting your pants and then having to do a four-hour network radio show and shitting on the side of a public toilet, I would prefer to do the public toilet. I would. Because just the whole, oh, man.
Yeah, because you had to marinate in the studio after you did your damage.
Yeah.
Which is way different.
Oh, it's terrible.
That's awful.
It was horrible.
Did you
had to go commando and then sit there, and it was, oh, man.
Okay, so my question is, for argument's sake, and hypothetically speaking, you go to that bathroom, and two things. One is, you get access to the bathroom, and you have no toilet paper, and you have no paper towels. What do?
I leave. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be sitting there with my hands. I'm not. I mean, I figured there was a path that I could take with the toilet paper, and I thought there was actually more toilet paper than there was. And I am happy to report that by the time I left the public bathroom, it did not look nearly as bad as it looked at the moment of impact. Okay, so that was good. I was able to, if you look at the preponderance of the evidence there, I was able to hide a lot of the evidence. I flushed it away. But, you know, and then I'm like in my head, do they arrest you for shitting all over a public bathroom? Am I in some kind of criminal?
No, I mean, if you've been to downtown Los Angeles, you can do whatever the fuck you want these days.
It's required. It's required to do that. So, yeah.
Now, what would you have done if that bathroom was locked?
Oh, God. I thought about that, and I was thinking of trying to find, in that park, there were some bushes kind of in the back. Yeah, that was my other option. I couldn't make it home.
Yeah.
And in retrospect, that likely would have been the better way to go, because there wasn't anybody in the park. It was 100 degrees, and I could have done that. And then people would have maybe thought it was dog excrement or something like that.
No way.
No, not that much.
No dog can produce that much shit.
Yeah, I know. I still don't know what happened, though, because I usually that only happens when I fast and then I eat, but I hadn't eaten.
Do you have any caffeine?
You know, I might have taken a caffeine for the overnight show the day before, though, but not that day. So yeah.
I mean, because you probably always go to the restroom before you leave to go on your walk, right?
Yeah, yeah. But I usually don't, you know, I take care of the number one, not the number two, usually, because I don't have to.
Yeah.
Because I don't eat. If you don't eat stuff, there's nothing coming out. So.
God.
Any other questions?
No.
I'm your expert wizard. All right. The prosecution rests? No further questions,
man,
Your Honor?
There's a time and place for cameo. That would have been great for someone to put in a request.
So then the follow-up to this is, on Wednesday, I went back to the scene of the crime.
No, you did not.
Well, I was curious, because I wanted to see if it's... Because I was like, maybe if it's still bad, I'll clean it up myself. I'll bring some supplies from home. But fortunately, somebody had cleaned it up, so thank God.
Oh,
but I feel very bad for that, whoever that person is. I'm sorry. My apologies.
You need to do something out of goodwill for somebody or something. Like, you need to rescue a dog.
You know what we're going to do, actually? My wife's good. She said, we got to donate to the food bank. There's a local food bank.
Yes.
So that's what we're going to do. We're going to buy some food.
Okay, good.
Some mac and cheese, some canned soup.
Yes.
Things like that.
Goya beans.
the soup kitchen over here. So yes,
that's good.
Yeah, Goya beans. That's right.
Man. Jeez. You have teetered not once but twice on the brink of public defecation.
Yeah, this never happened. People want to say the gallbladder thing and all that, you know, it's a minor deal. You don't need your gallbladder. I feel fine and all that. But a lot of people have had this procedure. It's a pretty common procedure.
Yeah.
But I did not. When they were telling me, you know, you're going to have this and this happen, you know, they give you the list of things that are likely to happen once your gallbladder's out. I'm like, that's bullshit. That's not going to happen to me. Yeah, well, surprise. Ta-da! Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Christmas now. I think we know what to get you.
Some diapers?
Some giant-sized diapers, yes.
I'm not quite there yet, pal, but thank you. All right, so that's the story. Now, I have one other little addendum. Should I do that now, or maybe we'll wait till the next podcast? It's your call, Gasco. Do it now? Or?
Yeah, let's do it now.
All right. So all about Bob. And you know that great quote from Andy Warhol that art is never finished. It's only abandoned, right? It's great. They're pretty good. Andy Warhol had some really good quotes. So I'm watching a documentary last weekend about PBS legend Bob Ross. Are you a Bob Ross fan? Do you know who Bob Ross is, Gascon?
No, I am not.
You don't? Oh, my God. All right. So Bob Ross was a PBS star, like I guess in the 80s and the early 90s. Right?
Now I know who he is, yeah.
Yeah, he's got he had the funny hair and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I learned an amazing fact. I thought this was crazy about Bob Ross. Now, when I was a kid, when I was little, we didn't have cable. And so I watched a lot of PBS and I would watch like, you know, the Sesame Street, The Electric Company, those kind of shows.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we didn't have entertainment when I was a child. It was the Stone Age. And then sometimes the TV would just be on in the house. I'd be playing or whatever. And then Bob Ross's show would come on. And he was a guy that would mostly paint landscapes like mosaics, mountains, you know, mixed with trees and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like a 30-minute show. He would paint this amazing, amazing thing in 30 minutes. And he would teach you how to do it. But I learned this crazy factoid about Bob Ross. I love this random stuff. This is the stuff I love in life. So painter Bob Ross, who at the time that show went on the air, was a struggling artist. Literally. You know that cliche about the struggling artist? He was a struggling artist. Didn't have any money. He was, you know, struggling to make it through. And so because he didn't have a lot of money, he did what I call the Mahler Maneuver, although it was not known as the Mahler Maneuver at this time because it was before my time. But Bob Ross, struggling painter, went out and got a perm. The reason he got a perm was because he couldn't even afford to get his hair cut, and he did the arithmetic, and he figured if I get a perm, I don't have to get my hair cut. I'm going to save money on haircuts, and I can spend that on other things, right? I can, you know, he figured out that he could buy food and other items with that, I assume, without getting haircuts. So this was before his TV career. So then what do you think happens? Well, he gets the PBS show takes off, right? Takes off. And he wanted to change his hair because he hated it. Couldn't change his hair. He was forced to keep the hair the rest of his life because that was the trademark of Bob Ross, and it became PBS's logo and the whole thing. And so he didn't want the hair. He hated it. He thought it looked terrible, and he had to keep it. And now even he's been dead for years, and there's internet memes with Bob Ross's hair still. I think that's an amazing little – I love that kind of – I mean, he didn't want to – it's just crazy that that became his signature thing, and he didn't even want to have it. You are in stunned disbelief right there, David Gasco. You are speechless, which is not good for a podcast.
Well, it's not. But what provoked you, first of all, to watch that documentary?
Well, you know, late at night, Friday, Saturday, the games have ended. You know, I like to watch a documentary. And this was on the YouTube. And it was a couple years old. But I was like, you know, I watched Bob Ross when I was a kid. So I was like, maybe I'll check this out, see what's going on there.
You know what his fro reminds me of, or who it reminds me of?
I don't.
Lenny Wilkins.
Oh, yeah, Lenny.
Lenny Wilkins had that fro. Not as magical as Ross, but...
yeah.
But pretty fucking good. But I agree, right? Like, when you have something that's a staple of your brand, you can't just go off the beaten path.
Yeah, when you get known for something. You know, it reminds me, Kevin Kennedy, and I forget the player's name, but Kevin Kennedy, who was the Fox baseball insider guy, and a good guy, Kevin. Kevin told me a story about when he was managing the Red Sox, there was a guy playing for the Sox that was a pretty good player, but hated Boston, but he had to play there because he couldn't force his way out because he wasn't a big enough name player to do it. He was making great money, but he couldn't stand it. I know it's not the same, but it's like you're in a situation where you don't really like somebody, you can't change it.
Right.
You know, and he was in that situation, but I don't know. Like you look at he was not an athlete, Bob Ross, but you look at the great haircuts in sports, and I always go when I first started watching Michael Cage, he had the Jerry curl.
Yeah,
that was quite the look, man. That was quite the look for the Clips and the Sonics and all that. Doesn't have any more, but the Tony Gwynn had that a little bit. He had a little bit of that going on.
Did he really?
Early in his career with the Padres. Yeah, he had that.
I'm trying to think of like signature. I mean, because everyone has those signature, not everyone, but there's certain people that have like those iconic or like signature styles, whether it's hair, suits. I mean, Craig Sager was one with his.
Oh, yeah. Sager. Yeah, that was right. The late Craig Sager. Because I saw him at Staples Center back in the Shaq Kobe years, and he would come out there, TNT, and he would wear normal clothes, and then he had his clown suit that he would put on.
Right.
And so it was really brilliant. Vic the Brick followed that same playbook. There's a playbook that if you want to get attention on television, you have to wear really bright, outrageous outfits. You should do that, Gascon. You should take a page out. Get these, you know, bright pastel color jackets and ties and mix and match. And you should.
Maybe we'll do that in September. You never know.
Walt Clyde Frazier.
Oh,
he does that, right? Frazier wears like a lion print suit and all that. The NBA's had so many.
Yeah.
Remember Kenny Skywalker?
Oh, yeah.
He had the high top fade for the New York Knickerbockers back in the day.
I mean, Michael Cooper with his knee-high socks?
Yeah, yeah. Artis Gilmore, that's before my time, but he had the big fro going. Yeah. He was playing. But everyone did. Dr. J, man. You know, remember Dr. J with the Nets flying through the air with the fro?
Yeah.
Here's another one. Detlef Schrempf. I don't know if you remember him.
I remember Detlef Schrempf.
He had that. Super it looked science. Like a German military guard haircut.
Yeah.
Right?
He looked like...
It was groomed, and he looked like Ivan Drago.
Drago, yeah.
Yeah, he looked like that, yeah.
From Rocky IV, yeah. I mean, not even with the hair, but you can go Bob Barker, right? Like, what's Bob Barker synonymous with? Like these.
Oh, he's got that stick, that needle dick microphone.
Yeah, he's got the skinny microphone.
Yeah,
and then he always does his pet promotion at the end of The Price is Right.
Oh, here's another one. Remember the guy? Let's see. I'm gonna test Gascon's hair knowledge.
Oh no,
NBA player with a mullet in the 1990s.
Oh, did he play for the Nets?
He was a journeyman. He played for a number of teams, but he is the gold standard for the mullet in professional basketball.
Oh, Chris Mullin.
No, not Mullin. Mullin had the flat top.
Oh, no, it wasn't Tom Chambers.
No, this is after those guys. This is in the 90s.
Oh, it's in the 90s.
And this guy was a center. I think he's dead.
Not Bradley, not Mirasan.
No.
Obviously not the dream.
He played college basketball at Florida. He was a very better college player.
You know who had a mullet? Bryant Reeves had a mullet. Big Country had a mullet.
No, he had like a flat top type thing. No, this is Dwayne Shinsius.
Who the fuck is Dwayne Shinsius?
Oh, you don't know. That's bad basketball knowledge, as Tony Bruno would say. That's a bad job by you, man. Come on.
Dwayne? I can't even
say Dwayne Shinsius. It's all right, Google it right now. It's Shintzius.
Okay.
He played into the early 2000s, played with my Clippers. I covered him in the mid-90s. He played for the L.A. Clippers, the terrible Clippers, at the L.A. Sports Arena.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, he man.
That the mullet, thing, man. That right? Is, look at that. Come on.
Oh, man. That's great.
Yeah.
That. What do they say? Like, it's a party in the back? That's
business in the front, party in the back.
That is, yeah, that's good, man. Yeah, that
so
is
he
like
he died. So he had leukemia. He died when he was like in his early 40s. It sucks, but that guy was. I mean, you think redneck mullet basketball player? That is Dwayne Shinsky.
Wow, he played right? for Come Sacramento, on. San Antonio. Yeah, he played for the Nets.
Oh, did he?
Yeah,
I remember that. He played with everybody. He bounced around from team to team to team.
That is a great mullet. Man, that's good. That's Barry Melrose on steroids.
You didn't expect to hear a Dwayne Shinsky as reference podcast, did you?
No.
This has been like the perfect podcast. Now, the real question, guest.
7 foot two and 260. Wow.
Yeah, he was a big boy. Yeah. Big boy. Good college player. Much better college player than NBA player. But as I remember.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, Gaskin. How is this podcast? What are you going to call it? You're going to headline it, Walk in the Park? What are you going to do? The Tennessee Trots, the Mallor Trots? What are you going to do?
I'm going to call it Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers?
Yeah, it's story time with Ben Mallor.
Oh, story time. There you go. Yeah. That was decent. You know, will this outrank some of our interview podcasts?
It'll certainly outrank the Looney Tunes episode that we had last week with our fake dentist.
Oh, did that not do that well? People did not want to hear Tom Looney?
No, it didn't do that well. No.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought Looney would be a hit. People did not. They were not riveted to Tom Looney.
No. In fact, it did. It did half of what I did with my MMA fighter.
Is that right?
Yeah. Wasn't that good?
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't do any interview this week.
No.
No.
I was tempted. I've been talking to the chief about your lack of cooking and barbecuing.
I'm a great cook.
And so he was a little curious about the fact that you got like a 40-ounce tomahawk steak in the freezer that hasn't been.
I got a list of things. You got to reference my wife. You've got to talk about something west of the 405 you did with the burrito story earlier.
No, that wasn't San Diego. It's 5 Freeway. It's a 5 Freeway.
Nah, you mentioned the 405.
No, I haven't mentioned your first class flight to Seattle that was paid for by a listener. I haven't mentioned that yet.
That was a friend of the show that took care of that. Friend of the show.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I haven't mentioned
just because you weren't invited anywhere. I mean, that's, you know.
Stings a little bit.
Why don't you try to get some fans? Maybe they'll take care of you. How about that?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, listen, have a great rest of your day. We got podcasts coming up all weekend long, 3 days a week on the podcast, 8 days a week overall. But thank you. Remember, review the podcast, 5 stars, email us, follow us on social media, and have a great day.